The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, I really wanted to do it, darling, but I can't. I have a headache. You know me and the double entendres. We've all heard it. Well, I have. And it seems, though, that migraines are very, very serious, to the point that 1 in 10 people who get them claim that they have lost a job because of the condition, according to an Irish study this week. I'm joined by Dr. Eddie O'Sullivan, a GP and clinical director of the Migraine Clinic at Cork University Hospital. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Thank you.
Can we begin by just asking, what percentage of people get migraines?
Well, it's a common condition. It affects 10 to 12% of the population. It's 3 times more common in women. So that means about 1 in 7 of the population suffer from migraine. And as outlined, it's much more common in women.
Why do women get it more?
Well, there's no direct answer to that other than to say that obviously hormonal factors do have an influence in terms of the threshold for migraine. And we know that migraine often occurs around the time of the menstrual cycle, usually just before the period and during the period, and less often around the time of ovulation. And also we've known that for many women who suffer from migraine, the migraine can actually go into remission during pregnancies, and that would be all due to the levels of estrogen at different times, and just before the period it tends to drop a little bit, and that's felt to be the trigger for migraine, while they're often protected during pregnancy because you've got sustained high levels of estrogen during pregnancy.
Is there anything how do people treat it normally? I mean, I know I've heard people say if they have a migraine, they kind of go to a dark room, sit in there. But is hormonal treatment something they can do on an ongoing basis?
No. I mean, that's what triggers the attack. But how you manage it, whether you're a man or a woman, depends on your ability to treat the attack with available painkillers and specific migraine drugs that are now also available. So in a typical attack where a patient has got a debilitating headache with the accompanying symptoms of maybe nausea, intolerance to light and sound, and the impact is such that they can't function and would often need to lie down in a quiet, dark room, you know, some patients will be able to manage their attack with simple analgesics such as aspirin or paracetamol or ibuprofen, and I suppose they're the fortunate ones. And often patients will often go to their pharmacist to purchase an over-the-counter preparation, but for more debilitating attacks and attacks that don't respond, to simple analgesics, there are specific what we call triptan therapies, which are developed for migraine that treat the underlying condition. And basically, when a patient takes a medication for the attack, as a doctor, we like to see a reasonably good response in relief of their symptoms, within 2 hours.
And obviously, it's pretty serious. It's the 5th most common cause of disability in Ireland. If you become disabled due to migraine, how often would you be looking at dealing with migraines, or would it be a case that the person gets one every month? How is that determined?
Well, they're the issues now around the impact of migraine and the knowledge that we have and the awareness in terms of studies that are done. And there's a huge number of patients that get 4 or more migraine attacks per month, and they can last for up to 2 to 3 days. So if you add up that, there are many patients who get 8, 10, 12 days of migraine per month. And the impact is that, so is that they can't function and need to lie down in quiet, dark rooms. So their number of days that are lost out of work is quite enormous, for individuals. And it has a huge impact, obviously, in terms of their work performance and their ability to do the job if they're at work. And, of course, it draws an awful lot of attention upon themselves in terms of their employer's understanding or tolerance of the patient, in the sense that the patients feel misunderstood. Patients feel that they may be letting people down or letting others down. So it has a huge personal impact on the individual, and does affect their employment. Also in terms of students, their ability to do exams, study. And every year we do a lot of letters for patients who are due to sit the junior cert or the leaving cert, in terms that, if they do get an attack during an exam, they have to be given extended time and an opportunity to take medication and so on.
And just as a final question to you, Dr. O'Sullivan, if you have a strong headache coming on, how do you know initially, or what do you do? I mean, what's the difference between headache and migraine?
Well, again, and that's an important question because it's a clinical diagnosis, and I suppose the first thing that these headaches often are described as being, a throbbing, pounding, pulsating headache. It would tend to be unilateral or one-sided, but can be both sides. Patients would score this headache you know, very highly. They would, you know, nearly all migraine patients would rank their headache 8 to 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And when they rank it that high, you know, it really stops them from functioning. And then the other symptoms, such as the intolerance to light, the intolerance to sound, and the nausea, of which many patients will also actually get sick and vomit. And you put all those symptoms together, you know, it really has a huge impact, to the point that it isn't an option, really. They have no choice but to lie down in a quiet, dark room because they can't function.
I do have just one quick question. A texter wrote in and said, my 11-year-old daughter has suffered for years and a specialist has put it down to allergies. Will it worsen as she goes through puberty now with hormones in the mix too?
Well, it varies. I think you need to individualize migraine as well, because what triggers and causes one patient's migraine, you know, may not be relevant for another individual. For patients who suffer from migraine in childhood, many of these patients will actually go into remission when they reach puberty, but it can come back later on in lives. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get worse or get better. It just means that the pattern of the migraine can change, certainly from childhood as you head into, you know, your teenage years and beyond.
Okay, well, thanks. I'd like to thank Dr. Eddie O'Sullivan, a GP and clinical director of the Migraine Clinic at Cork University Hospital, for speaking to us on that topic.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.